Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
Listeners, thanks to all of you for listening and subscribing to COVID Noise Filter. On behalf of Doc Griggs and the entire Noise Filter team, we are honored to be nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award in the health category. If you appreciate the information we provide, please take a moment and show your support by voting for us. It just takes a few minutes and would mean so much to us. You can find the link to vote in the episode notes or by going to podcastawards.com. Again, that's podcastawards.com. And please vote for COVID Noise Filter in the health category. Thank you so much. And now on to the stories. Dealing with the unvaccinated. An opinion piece in the New York Times identifies different uncomfortable situations one could find themselves regarding being vaccinated around unvaccinated individuals and how to potentially deal with those situations. Having an unvaccinated member in a group carries higher risk for infection than if everyone was vaccinated. Group functions are vital to make school and work settings, and with many more places opening up, how can you have a group function and not exclude unvaccinated persons? Currently, the CDC has guidelines identifying the different safety levels of vaccinated and unvaccinated people mingling. Ways to accommodate would be to meet with masks, social distancing, without food, and meeting outside. Unvaccinated students can also participate via Zoom. Another scenario presented in the article addresses people who work in your home, such as cleaners, babysitters, nannies, and other professions of the sort. The question presented is whether or not it's ethical for owners of these homes to verify vaccinations by asking to see their vaccination card. On the one hand, it can reflect a lack of trust in those you hire, but also it's important for you to verify, especially if you have vulnerable populations in your home. The last scenario deals with family members lying about their vaccination status and visiting other members of the family, especially older individuals like parents, despite those members being diligent about mask wearing, social distancing, and getting vaccinated. So, what's the best way to approach this? At the end of the day, those who lie are only considering their point of view, which increases the risk for others, and it's important to let the other family members know regardless. Dealing with unvaccinated people in scenarios such as these can be uncomfortable, but it is important that you consider your own comfort and safety when making decisions to meet or socialize with other people. The pandemic's impact on HIV and AIDS. June 5th marked the 40th anniversary of the global HIV/AIDS epidemic. What impact did the COVID-19 pandemic have on HIV and AIDS? Well, according to the infectious disease journal, The Lancet, last year, as the pandemic raged on, experts worried that sub-Saharan Africa would experience an additional 500,000 deaths from AIDS-related illnesses if the COVID pandemic interrupted access to antiretroviral therapy. The most severe disruption of services occurred from March to July 2020. HIV clinics closed or abbreviated their operating hours. Navigating the public transportation system was tricky. People with respiratory symptoms were discouraged from leaving their homes, and there was a general fear of being infected with the coronavirus at healthcare institutions. Prevention and testing for HIV was dramatically reduced, and several nations depleted their stockpile of condoms. There was also widespread shortages of personal protective equipment, and this forced infectious disease workers to treat COVID-19 infected people without protection, resulting in the illness and death of the very people who could offer to help. In addition to the tremendous cost of human life, the pandemic also had an astronomical economic cost, because according to the Overseas Development Institute, the COVID-19 pandemic could push 250 million people into extreme poverty by 2030. Funding for the HIV/AIDS programs in low-income and middle-income countries has plateaued over the past few years. And now with the COVID-19 pandemic adding additional burden, those resources are likely to be constrained for the foreseeable future. For countries such as Malawi and Uganda, whose HIV/AIDS programs are heavily reliant on donor funding, reductions in overseas aid could have serious consequences. But a few positives have surfaced. The COVID-19 pandemic has led to countries moving to 6 monthly prescriptions of ART rather than requiring patients to see a doctor more than necessary to receive their medications. Similar measures have been adopted for opioid substitution therapy, and in some regions, patients are required to present to a methadone clinic sometimes twice a day for treatment, even if it takes them hours of travel on a bus to get there. Now countries have agreed to prescriptions of a week or more and home delivery of methadone. This would have never occurred pre-pandemic. To reduce the chances of COVID-19 rampaging through prisons, governments have made the decision to release the elderly or those serving short sentences and even those who've been convicted of crimes related to drug use. Hopefully, this will spark a debate on treating nonviolent drug offenders rather than incarcerating them. The lockdowns have also led to an increased uptake of telemedicine, and we love telemedicine. It is important to remember that the COVID-19 pandemic is far from over. UNAIDS has warned that it could still cause up to 293,000 new infections and 148,000 additional AIDS-related deaths worldwide by 2022. As we continue to navigate the pandemic, HIV/AIDS programs will continue adapting to limited resources and adjusting to whatever comes next. But the outlook is positive that this can happen. Juul's $40 million lawsuit. Now, Juul, an e-cigarette maker, has promoted its nicotine pods as a safer alternative to traditional cigarettes. However, the CDC warns that the use of vape pens is not safe for children or even young adults. It says that young children who vape are more likely to smoke cigarettes in the future. As a result, Juul has agreed to settle a $40 million lawsuit with the state of North Carolina that accused them of marketing its products to young people. According to BBC News, between 2018 and 2019, the use of e-cigarettes rose by 78% amongst North Carolina high school students, according to the state's Youth Tobacco Survey. North Carolina became the first state to sue the e-cigarette mega brand in 2019 when it alleged that Juul's small device and sweet flavors, which previously included mango or cucumber, delivered the highly addictive substance of nicotine to young children, as well as selling products to them online. Now, as a result of the lawsuit agreement, Juul will not be allowed to target its advertising at underage people or anyone in its advertisements under the age of 35 in the state. The deal caps the number of Juul vaping devices and pods that consumers in North Carolina can buy monthly or annually. Juul also stopped distributing its non-menthol, non-tobacco flavored products and paused all mass marketing product advertising over the last 2 years, including shutting down Instagram and Facebook pages promoting its vape products. So, what happened finally? North Carolina's Attorney General Josh Stein, in a press conference, said North Carolina is now the first state in the nation to hold Juul accountable for its instrumental role in creating a youth vaping epidemic. They did it to teenagers across North Carolina and this country simply to make money. Let's hope that other states follow suit. Just as a reminder, that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to noisefiltershow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.